No strain, no gain.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
8 games in the season. Texans sitting at 6-2. Sitting pretty now. There's no doubt about that. But I think offensively the Texans are still a tad bit lost. What is the Texans' identity moving forward? Bobby Slowick, Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans. You know, one of the things in the NFL right now is because, I mean, this is what I think it is anyway, because you don't have a lot of activity in training camp the way you used to. It's viewed a little differently than it used to. You know, it started out, well, we don't really know, you know, teams don't know who they are until about 4 weeks into the season. Well, we've gotten to the point this year where it's 6 to 8 games into the season, then that's when teams ultimately know who they are and start to create this identity. And now, I don't subscribe to that. To be honest with you, I completely disagree with it. I don't like viewing your football team that way. I feel like you should be a little further along 8 games into the season. But nonetheless, we're at 8 games into the season. Texans are sitting at 6-2. And before we got to week 9, early in the season, we were hearing Bobby Slowick and D'Amico and Nick and these guys talk about, well, it takes 6 to 8 games to get to know who you are and what you do well and what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. And we're at that 8-game mark. And I don't know how comfortable everybody out there is, but right now, for me, I'm uncomfortable with what the Texans' identity is and what it should be moving forward. What should the Texans lean into offensively to get the job done? Now, this week, with a short week, Ron, with missing your top two wide receivers, Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs, both being injured. Now, this week, I think it's even more obvious right now what the Texans should do than it was last week. Last week, I feel like they should have leaned into the run game. They threw the ball 12 times in the first 16 offensive snaps. Clearly, they don't believe in that. And so I'm at a spot, Ron, where I don't know what they're thinking offensively and how long they're going to push the envelope in hoping that they can be a pass-first football team and play efficient football, stay ahead of the chains, not put themselves in bad situations, whether it's penalties or sacks or pressures, and get this offense to where we for once can see them hit on all cylinders this season. Is it fair to say that they're 0-for-8 in terms of for 4 quarters, this offense hitting on all cylinders? There's been a couple of games where they ran it really well. There's been a couple of games where the statistically CJ threw it well. But I don't personally recall a game.
The Patriots would be the closest.
Good game. That'll work. But we need to see this. We need to start seeing who the Texans are. And Ron, I don't know where you're at right now, but I believe that this should be a run-first football team, which is crazy because up until about two, three weeks ago, it was, this is a CJ-centric team, and they better figure this pass protection out. Right now, I'm going to run it and play really good defense, which you've been doing, and that's your recipe to win. Now, I think that's your recipe to win this week for damn sure again because you're missing Diggs and you're missing Nico Collins.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you. You said this earlier, and I'll go ahead and reiterate it because it's me we were talking about. Like, I think this is the case when Nico Collins comes back. I think this is the case when somebody either steps up or you make a move and bring somebody in.
What'd you say earlier? There's not a move that they can make,
yes,
skilled, whatever, that would lean you to thinking that they should drop back and throw the ball as much as they did.
There's not a single trade that they can make, whether it's an offensive lineman or another wide receiver, and there's not an individual getting healthy, whether it's Nico Collins or it was Steph Diggs, none of that puts me in a position where I go, all right, this offense is ready to rock and roll. I'll paint the picture for you. Right now, C.J. Stroud is the 4th most sacked and the 4th most knockdown quarterback in all of football. Clearly, you're not protecting him well at all. Doesn't matter what defense is. We've seen some good defenses, the Bears defense. the Minnesota defense, right? The Colts defense last week somehow, we made them look silly in the first week of the season. They somehow turned things around and had more success against our offense. So C.J. Stroud's the fourth most sacked and fourth most knocked down quarterback in the NFL. The Texans versus Green Bay, when this really became a thing and the national narrative started to change, C.J. Stroud was pressured on 45%+. I think the number's actually 47-point-something% of dropbacks versus the Green Bay Packers. And that's when everybody stood up and said, whoa, the Texans got a problem. Keep an eye on this. C.J.'s in trouble. He's getting pressured. He's overcoming it because he's so damn good. But this don't last long. This is not sustainable. The Texans commenced to going out against the Colts at home because what did we hear about the 45%? We heard a lot of talk about on the road in Lambeau, man. Can't use your hard count. It's hard to communicate when you're on the road. You know, there's a lot of factors. Okay, you come home. The friendly confines of NRG Stadium. Guess what happened, boys? C.J. Stroud was pressured 50%+ of his dropbacks versus Indy. I believe that number, again, is 53-point-something% versus the Indianapolis Colts. It's getting worse. You continue to go out there and put C.J. Stroud in a situation where he's getting hit more and more as the season goes along, and you're choosing to continue to drop back 12 of 16 times, or that's what it was to start the first half. To end the first half, it was 10 of 15 times. Meanwhile, you've got a running back in the backfield that is one of three backs right now that's averaging more than 100 yards a game. You've got a back in the backfield in Joe Mixon, who is a tone setter. You got a back in the backfield in Joe Mixon, who, Ron, is – if and I'm not taking anything away from the offensive line because I think they have been better in the run game. But Mixon is – whether there's – it's blocked up well or not, Mixon is making guys miss. Mixon is hitting the hole so quick, he's running right by guys that are unblocked. Mixon is doing a lot of this, a lot of it, without the perfect setup up front. And that's the lay of the land. That's the reality of who the Texans are right now. So you tell me, 713-572-4610. What should the Texans do moving forward? And I'm not talking about just this week, because Ron, we've acknowledged that. Like, just this week, it's clear. This is, again, on the road, no Nico, no Diggs, not sure what the hell is going to happen at the left guard position. Common sense is probably going to be to run it with your big time back. But moving forward this season, after watching 8 games of the Texans play, Ron, their identity needs to be what?
Got some people texting in on this, Clint. Mm-hmm. Someone texts in and says, not comfortable with what their identity is. Texans have a Super Bowl defense and a workhorse running back. Defense and run is who they are. And I damn sure agree with you this week. With that defensive front and that secondary.
Yes.
I dropping back. What, he dropped back 26 times in the first half?
First half, baby.
Dropping back like that, I don't think is a good recipe for success for them this week. But when Nico comes back, yes, I think that will be different and will help things. And I said this earlier, and I still stand by it. I just refuse to accept that this is a team that's run the football and play defense. When they have C.J. Stroud, they yep. have Nico Collins. They have a guy who last year was one of the hottest head coaching candidates and play callers in the game, and Bobby Slowick last year. You know, they went out and got, you know, Tank Dell, who last year did his thing, and Dalton Schultz they brought back. It is just hard for me to say run first and play defense.
I know it's hard.
And I think the reason why I feel like it's hard for me, Clint, is I just don't see the path of them winning big with that philosophy. Because I don't like this texter said, I think they got a championship Super Bowl defense. I don't know that I am ready to say that their defense is that good to carry them.
Agreed.
In a run game.
Yeah, this isn't Ray Lewis's Ravens.
Or even like last year's Ravens or last year's Niners or last year's Chiefs.
Yeah.
That, you know, team that did that. That I think that's why it is hard for me to accept, because to me, for this, the way that I envision this team winning big is, yes, C.J. Stroud and them making plays in this defense, getting to play off of it and do what they do best, and that's rush the passer, yep, and to be able to get leads in the play that way. It is hard for me to get the sense that they can win and take the next step, that they can win multiple games against the likes of, you know, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Baltimore, and whoever, to win multiple times with C.J. Stroud not being, yeah, at the forefront. That one's hard for me to see them winning big.
Well, I think I
just don't even want
to. You know, but Ron, to me, I don't know that two things can't be true, because I think it's actually would be very C.J. Stroud friendly. I think it would create more opportunities for these wide receivers. I think you as an offense would start dictating what they do up front. Right now, these guys are lining up, and I mean, they're willing to let Joe Mixon run. And look, I'm not. It's not easy for Joe, but they are willing to align and assign, simply hoping that you decide to throw the football 26 times. And by alignment, and everything they do is, if C.J. Stroud is in the pocket, the way we're lining up and the way we're rushing with all these different twists and all these different crazy alignments, we're going to get to C.J. Stroud. They're willing to get themselves out of lanes and out of pocket and give up some of those run-type situations, knowing that C.J. Stroud is the way that they're going to try to win football games. And I think if they counterpunch that with Joe Mixon, and Joe continues to run it the way he's ran it, I think it slows the game down. I think it protects your quarterback. I think it protects your offensive line, whether that offensive line is Kenyon Green or not. I think you become at the very least a balanced football team, which is much more dangerous than a one trick pony. You are playing into the defense's hands when you choose to go out there knowing that your pass protection is suspect and has been suspect, and continue to throw the football 26 times and a half by choice.
Would die for CJ. Everyone knows that.
I think CJ could get back to even probably even bigger, more definitely more consistent, but bigger numbers if they went this route. That's where I'm at with
YouTube and Twitch. Ron, the Texans have a defense that can win a championship. You know, we can just have different opinions. It may have been proven enough to you with that. It has not been proven for me enough to say they've got a defense that can win. Now, I think they got a defense that can win a championship with C.J. Stroud as C.J. Stroud.
Yes.
I think that is enough that this defense
They can't be ultra conservative. They can't be Trent Dilfer conservative on offense and ride the defense to a championship.
It is hard for me, and we'll see. Maybe they prove my ass wrong, yeah, and you all are. But it's hard for me to see this team winning big with Joe Mixon as the driving force of the team and not C.J. Stroud.
All right, boys. Y'all know. Do y'all scroll the social media as much as I do? I'm sure. Y'all scroll.
Definitely
some,
when I'm on the pooper. Some.
All right. Well, I'm an Instagram scroller, thumber. I ain't no doubt about it. From the gram, couple things that I picked up from the gram, boys. I didn't know these were things. One of them is actually Houston centric, and I was hoping that B. Scott would be here today because he would be the one to ask. But before we get there, Jimmy Johns. Tell me if y'all are a fan of this.
Big fan.
I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a joke. And Tyler, aren't you? Which one of y'all are the ones that like the big ballpark pickles?
That's me.
Ain't me.
Yeah, Ron doesn't like pickles.
I thought one of y'all liked the big ballpark pickles. Well, Jimmy Johns has decided they're going to make a sandwich, and the big ballpark pickles are the bread, sliced right down the middle.
Huh?
Pickle healthy on each side. I'm not interested. You?
No, not,
I mean,
no,
a pickle would be aggressive to have that on a sandwich.
If it wasn't Jimmy Johns, I'd be very interested.
Jimmy John's might be is that the drunkest late night spot?
They almost got me with some food poisoning, man, back in the day.
The pickle sandwich, would you try it?
No, I wouldn't at all. I hate pickles.
Tyler, love pickles.
I think I'm out on it too. You hate pickles.
Despise them.
I didn't know that. No pickles, no bananas. You don't like anything that looks like a piece?
Or even if they're cut up. Or even if they're sliced and cut up.
Well, here's the other one real quick. It has to do with a pickle. Coincidentally, it has to do Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh, okay.
More white pants.
I did not know Good Megan Thee Stallion was Pearland. I did not. I knew she was H-Town. I did not know she went to school
she's
at Pearland.
From Pearland.
She went to high school at Pearland. Did not know that.
Did she?
Okay. Apparently, I caught a little video clip of Megan Thee Stallion, and she claims this is a Houston thing. I've never heard of it. Hollowing out a pickle and stuffing hot Cheetos in it and eating it. A hot Cheeto pickle.
I wish Brandon was here to let us know. 713-572-4610. I know there are a lot of different people and different backgrounds in the city of Houston. Is that a thing? I ain't never heard of it.
Hollowing out a pickle, stuffing it full of hot Cheetos, and going to town. Now, I've never heard of it. Did not know it was a Houston thing.
In Pearland?
But I could get down with that. That one I could try. I love some hot Cheetos now.
See, I love Cheetos, but I have never liked the taste of the Flamin' Hot.
Whatever talk show she was on, the host, who was a super white guy, imagine that, he seemed, I don't know if he was playing it up now, but he sure seemed to enjoy it.
We're here with Megan Thee Stallion. Tell us about these hot Cheetos and pickles.
I bet he enjoyed everything in her presence.
My wife said the pickle sandwich sounds great. You think she's trying to tell me something, or you think she's going to Jimmy John's?
Sounds like she wants a pickle sandwich now, bro.
I'm going to tell you something, then she's going to Jimmy John's.
You know what I'm saying? Gotta pull out that dill pickle, bro.
Hey!
All right, coming up, what the hell happened at Yankee Stadium last night? What are we doing? What are we doing in the stands? I bet not ever see any of y'all asses from Houston in Minute Maid do anything like this. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, some confirmation here coming through. Clint, on your thought here, somebody said that's a Pasadena thing. That's a hood snack, as some people came through. Some people said, yeah, there is a thing called the Hot Cheetos, girl. You can find that at Corey Stores in Houston that sell that.
That sell what? Literally the pickle and the Cheetos in the pickle?
In the pickle.
Oh, you can buy it already made.
Yeah, that's what some people are saying.
I ain't had a carb in 4 months.
Chris like that, said that kinda, it. You can find a stuffed pickle with hot Cheetos.
Like already made?
Already made.
Where? Text line. Chris, is that who said that?
Chris said.
Where at, Chris? Tell me where. I'm going to get one with it within a couple of days here. I'm going to get one.
Hey, Jay in Freeport said, my 15-year-old son says hot cheese pickle thing is bussin'.
Bussin'.
God, my son says that gets on my nerves.
Bussin'?
Bussin'. He usually doubles it up. Bussin'.
No G. Bussin'.
Just two of them.
Yeah, bussin', I like bussin'. That. I typically don't get down with the young lingo, man.
My sis does that with her Cheetos and a pickle.
I don't doubt there's a few people out there that do it, but it is definitely a thing if you can literally buy one. Like, if I don't have to go through the process of hollowing out the pickle.
You don't want to do it yourself?
Well, no, I mean, that's
the time to do it.
I mean,
I think you should do it.
I mean, look, I'm not, obviously.
I think you and Tyler should bring in pickles and Cheetos and hollow that sucker out throughout the show.
Why? When you can go wherever Chris is talking about, just get them. I'll get them.
I'll do it, but not with hot Cheetos.
But don't you want to?
No, I don't.
You don't want to get.
I don't
want
to prepare anything.
Do that and feel good about that you did it all yourself.
No, I don't.
You went through the whole process.
No, I don't want to prepare anything. If somebody else has got it available, I want to get the real deal, man. And then I may try to duplicate it, but I want the real deal. Chris, let me know where it's at, man. What corner store?
Hey, Chris.
Somebody texted and said they capping ain't no store got that already made.
We'll find out.
You hunt that down. No, I didn't.
I mean, that's worth the drive.
I'd like to see what it looks like.
That's worth.
I want to see what it looks.
That's
like.
That's worth venturing off the highway on my way home. Because if it's on the east side,
oh, you would.
I mean,
at least it'll stop you from good.
Well, I mean, hell, look. I mean, all we got to do is pick a Thursday or Friday. We can get up on the west side, the northwest side. So it ain't like we don't have the opportunity to stop by and get one. Wherever it's at, I will damn sure. It's hollowed out pickle with hot Cheetos inside it. You know, one reason I like it. Like, one reason I think it's got a real chance is because you remove all the juicy stuff in the pickle that could spill out when you bite it. And the pickle then will contain the hot Cheetos as you eat it. So I bet it's not a messy snack. Like, I don't do messy snacks.
See, what I'm seeing a lot, though, I'm seeing people covered the pickles with the Cheeto and not
with the crunched up Cheeto.
Yeah, no, and not hollowed
she
it out.
Had them, bro. She had them. Megan Thee Stallion had them, and it was without a doubt pickle. The end of the pickle was cut off. It was hollowed out, and there was hot Cheetos stuck down in that thing.
Yeah, there it is.
That's it right there.
There it is.
That's what it looked like.
I bet you that can't look. That looks like it's made. It's got a paper and everything for you to wrap around in your hand.
I'm telling you.
When y'all were a kid, did you ever like stick the straw like down in the big dill pickle and like drink the pickle juice out?
So I'm out on that one again. I've never been a pickle guy.
I did that in junior high a lot. I'd go to the snack bar, get me a pickle.
Straw down there, and you pull out a straw full of seeds.
Yeah, that'll happen.
I've never sucked the guts of a pickle with a straw, no.
Yeah, you got to work through a little bit of the guts and those seeds, and then once you do that, you got some delicious pickle juice right there.
I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of the big pickle.
Bigger the better,
size
if you
does
ask
matter,
me.
Man. I like a mid-size.
You're a mid-pickle.
I'm a mid-pickle. In more than one way.
I like them Del Dixie big old boys.
Okay, I bet you do. Yeah, it takes two hands, don't it? I can see Tyler at the ballpark
with these little
two hands
wrapped
around big old
pickle. I wanted to take one of them big old pickles and shove it down the throat of those two dudes that grabbed Mookie Betts.
They should be held down and beaten in the face with pickles, yes.
The pickle shoved in their mouth.
Okay. I got a message for those Yankees.
That seems like there's a law to keep that from happening.
There should be a law to keep from what they did. That is crazy to me. Like the whole game, look, hey, they came back. They hit that huge home run, that grand slam, and really actually, kind of opened it up. They won 11-4 last night. But the story to me is, what goes through your mind that says, I'm going to grab his glove. And then I'm gonna try while grabbing his glove with my other hand. And when I say who this is Mookie Betts coming into foul territory to catch a foul ball. And then I'm going to try to pry it open. By the way, the out's been recorded. Referee called, the official, the umpire called the out. I'm going to then take my hand, pry it open.
Get that webbing open.
Like I'm trying to strip a running back. I'm trying to rip out the ball from the running back. Then what possessed my friend then next to him to then grab Mookie's other wrist to hold his wrist down so he could continue? What in the hell rolled through their minds to think, this is cool for me to do? This is cool
That's
for me to do.
That's just severe Yankee dumbassery, man.
And the part about the Yankees, they are some dumbass. And the worst part is, it took people talking about it for them to go ahead and say they were banned from coming to tonight's game.
Major League Baseball had to ask.
They had to step in. They were going to let them jokers come in.
They escorted them out after that, and they said, yeah, you can come on back tomorrow.
Those dudes, their season tickets should be revoked. I'm sure they don't have a problem with filling those season tickets for somebody.
Not for the rest, Yankees. Not for the rest of this World Series.
No, or not, I think their season tickets should be revoked. That's one. And you have been grabbing folks. Grabbing players.
Yeah,
that was wild to me.
Yeah, if you missed it last night in the World Series games where the Yankees won and this thing's going to Game 5, there is a foul ball hit down the right field line. Mookie Betts runs over, jumps up, glove in the crowd, catches it, and two fans grab onto his wrist, his glove. And by the way, the way that these fans were grinning and laughing, they knew exactly what they were doing. It's not like I could see. I could see, Ron.
That was not it was too long to be something.
Well, no question. But I could see where you're just standing there and the ball's coming down. You're looking, all of a sudden, a major league.
You can see the Steve Bartlett thing happen to you.
Well, even trying to catch the ball, or even this, I would not do this, but I could see where somebody may grab the glove and try to get a souvenir and try to. But these dudes, like, literally held Buddy up and are trying to rake the baseball out of the glove, and they're smiling and laughing. Yeah, I mean, it just, like, I don't know. I was disgusted with the dudes that were doing it. I mean, who in the hell thinks that's funny? Like, they were grinning the whole time. Like, how drunk or how stupid do you have to be to think that's funny?
You're a jackassery.
Honest to God, I think my first thought process, if I were out in the outfield and Kyle Tucker came, like, my first thought process is not to compete with him.
Back up.
Like, that is, like, whether it was Kyle Tucker or anybody else on the other team.
Yeah.
That's my thought. It sure as hell ain't, let me grab his ass. They had, Mookie's legs were dangling.
Yeah.
They had his ass up on.
Yeah, like you said, even if it's the opposition like it was in this case, my instinct is, hey, I like going to ball games. I'm not trying to ruin that. So I'm going to back the hell up if a ball's anywhere near.
Oh, I would too. I very easily would back up. It'd be a no-brainer. Like, I'm not even trying to touch the dude or the ball or the glove. But I could see where a nut job fan that's half drunk would do all of the above. But to hold Buddy up, and I mean, they could have hurt him.
Yes, from YouTube and Twitch. 99 reasons. Don't jump in the stands. No, he didn't. No. Let's use our minds.
That's an extension of the playing field.
Don't go and grab his arms and his wrist to try to rip a ball out. Stupid. God, it takes a certain mind to think, you know what? This is cool for me to do.
Yeah. I'm sure they're still convinced today that it's all right.
Oh, and convinced right that there. They had it. They had a say in this sucker. But look at Mookie's hot boy. That other dude grabs his wrist and just this next guy comes in to grab his wrist. That's what I don't understand. What made you say, let me go grab his wrist? That's wild. All right, coming up, big game tomorrow for the Texans, and I think there's a question that needs to be answered and understood, and we are going to find out over the next coming weeks. What is Tank Dell? What is he? We thought we had an idea of what he was coming into the season, but what is Tank Dell? That's coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Stroud of the gun, first and goal at the 7-1 back, Mixon. Bunch formation right, CJ to throw, looking. CJ steps up, fires right side of the end zone.
Yes!
Caught, touchdown, Houston, Tank Dell. The Texans take the lead.
All right, that was the big touchdown at the end of the half coming off of the recently benched Anthony Richardson interception at the end of the half by Jalen Petrie. And they punch it home with Tank Dell in the back of the end zone there. And that was a big play, the biggest play for Tank Dell in that game. And Clint, I think to me, when you see that Stephon Diggs goes down, I think you would feel better and you feel all right. And for those who feel all right about it, and we had the conversation, do they need more? And for those of you who felt like, no, they have enough, I think a lot of that is based off of, all right, and I've heard this a lot, Clint, like, hey, you basically have the receivers you had last year. When Nico gets back, you had Nico, who had gone for almost, 1,400 yards. You had Tank Dell, who was on pace to go over 1,000 yards. You had Dalton Schultz. You had you had Robert Woods, Xavier Hutchinson, and John Metchie are a year older. This is similar to the passing game you had last year, and C.J. Stroud led all of the NFL in passing yards per game. And you had you had one of the best passing games in football last year. But that is if you're getting last year's Tank Dell. The problem with that is you haven't gotten last year's Tank Dell. This has been a different dude, and they need for this to work. If they're not going to go out and make a move, which I know many people think they shouldn't and they won't need to do that, they need Tank to show up. Nathaniel's been playing.
Where art thou?
The first seven games of the season. They need Tank to show up. And I think there's a question of what is he? Is he a guy that's a number two level receiver that you can feel good about? Or is he playing himself lower than that? Because right now, Clint, you could argue, I mean, he's playing in the same vein and level of, Robert Woods, what Noah Brown did last year, what, number three receivers and not a special two. What did they say before the year? We got three number ones. That's not the way that Tank has played this year.
Yeah, look, I don't, he damn sure hadn't produced like that Now, I personally, I can tell you where I stand with it is I think there's been a, he falls third or fourth on the depth chart of we're going to make a priority and do things that are tank centric to get the football to out of the gate when you have Nico Collins and you have Steph Diggs and you have Dalton Schultz. I think he's been third or fourth on that list of guys that you kind of cater your offense to. I think the pressure that C.J. Stroud has been under consistently, really for the entire season, I think that has taken away from the opportunities that Tank Dell gets. And, you know, at the end of the day, I still believe in Tank Dell. I still believe that Tank Dell is a guy that, if they tilt this offense towards him from a pass game perspective, which they have to now, right? I mean, he's the most explosive guy you got. Really, he's the only explosive guy you got catching the football right now. That's everybody. I guess Joe Mixon. You can throw it to him out of the backfield. He's pretty explosive. With the exception of that, I mean, you got guys that can't run away from anybody. Whether you're talking about Dalton Schultz or Mechie or Xavier Hutchinson, I mean, these guys are all Robert Woods. I mean, these guys are all. They all lack twitch and explosion, relatively speaking. And so I would imagine that whatever pass game they do have in the books this week will be very, very Tank Dell-centric. Get him the football quick. Get him the football in space. Move him a lot to get the release, to get the DB to back off a bit if you snap the football when he's in motion. All the misdirection stuff, I would imagine, if you can get the run game going, would be Tank Dell, quick to Tank Dell in the flats on the other side. So I think there's several reasons why we haven't seen the Tank Dell to start with. And I think this is the week that, boy, if it's ever going to happen, this is the week that it has to happen because he's the lead dog. He's number one. This is the opportunity that Tank Dell has always looked for. But, Ron, I tell you, I mean, we're at a point. We were talking about CJ earlier. We talked about the offensive line, the pass protection. I mean, I said this earlier in the week, man. I'm at a point where I'm putting year one in the books. I mean, you started
just looking at what you've been seeing.
We're eight or nine. We're eight games in, man. It's obvious that you're not going to be the same team that you were. Whether we're talking individuals or we're talking about as an offense and identity, it's obvious you're not going to be that team. And some changes need to make. They need to shift gears a little bit. Now, do you go from one extreme to the other, or do you meet in the middle a bit? I think you meet in the middle a bit. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm just. Whether we're talking about Tank, CJ, the offensive line protecting, it is what it is right now, man. We're eight games into this joker right here, and what we've seen is who they are.
Yeah, from the text line, Tank has not been himself because of the Diggs signing. Him and Dalton will make a jump and be more motivated moving forward. To me, that will you have in there of him and Dalton will make a jump. I think that's to me a hope. I think that's a hope that they do that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's one that could argue, like, yeah, maybe you're not getting the ball as much, but, like, it should be easier for you to be open. And we know CJ, man, if you've been open, if you're open, like, he'll find a way to get you the ball.
You know, I don't like Ron putting Tank in the same boat with Dalton. Like Dalton's a sit in a soft zone. You know, if the zone takes you there, he's there. I mean, he's not a man beater. He may beat it from time to time, but he's not. I mean, that's just not. Tank is a guy, damn it. I mean, Tank is a guy, damn it, that needs to. I said guy, damn it, by the way.
He's not a man.
I wasn't sure.
But he might beat it from time to time.
Sure, we all
that was
We all do. But the thought is like.
I'm a master debate.
Like, damn, Tank has been a dude that can not just win, but like, explore, like, make
he
somebody.
He embarrassed people.
Yes.
Tank is freaking beast, bro.
We've got to get back to seeing some of that. And you know, again, to me, that's the key to the game this week. I think they're going to run it decent. I don't know what they're going to try to do offensively, but I do believe that Bobby's going to find a way to get Tank the football one way or another. and what Tank looks like is going to dictate whether they're in this game in the fourth quarter.
And here's what
I did say in this game in the fourth quarter. And I know New York's bad, but they got some dudes.
And listen, to that point, I honestly think this, the Tank Dell stuff has now got to start to fall on Bob Slowick. Because, all right, man, maybe 8 weeks we've sat here, Clinton tried to say, hey, man, what's up with him? He's not getting open. As you said, he would embarrass guys last year. Well, I think you got to help him. I think now that Diggs is gone, to me, it makes sense that he plays as much of that role as he does on the outside, Clint. I think, to me, make him the move guy. Make him the guy in the slot where you take advantage. Absolutely. Of better matchups and two-way goes in the middle of the field and doing those things. To me, you gotta help him, because lining up on the outside, he just has not shown to have the same production that he did before. Someone texted in, Tank Dell is a beast. Stay tuned, Ron. You're about to see wide receiver number one Tank tomorrow. I hope so. That's what I'm saying. I'm asking the question. Is he that guy that you're talking about? The beast and the number
prime
one.
Prime time Thursday night Tank Dell.
I don't even need him to be number one. Can you be what you was last year?
Tank is a freaking beast, bro.
Especially when Nico returns. Can you be what you were last year? When Nico comes, coverage is going to be shifted towards Nico, and you're going to go against many teams' worst corners. You should be able to win that.
Without a doubt.
Consistently.
You should be able to win this weekend.
Like, Clint should come in and have watched the All-22 and say, hey, listen, they were getting their asses kicked up front. CJ's just didn't have enough time. But Tank's getting open every play. I don't remember many times you've come back and said, like, oh, boy, they missed it. They missed them against, like, that Green Bay game, that was an eye-opener for me. He just couldn't get away from dudes. Couldn't get away from dudes, which is something we had not seen from him. So that is a wonder. What kind of Tank is he going to be moving the rest of the way? Because they need him to be the guy that was from last year. They need him to be Tank and not Nathaniel. Stop being Nathaniel. That's what he's been this year. Nathaniel. All right, the injury report is out. The Texans have four guys they have declared out of this game. We'll fill you in and let you know the latest of this. A move in the NFL. The Texans fans are really big on maybe the Texans making a move on an offensive lineman. Well, a contender has done so, and we'll get you ready for what could be the last game of Major League Baseball this year, Game 5. Garrett Cole gets the ball tonight for the Yankees. We'll set you up and get you ready for that coming up next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.